So this morning, instead of me presenting, this would be the sixth lesson in the series that we're doing on the book of Isaiah. And I told you we were going to be covering Isaiah chapter 6. And we're going to be looking at chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. And I told you this is one of my favorite sections of the book of Isaiah. And one of the reasons it is my favorite section is because of a talk I heard by a guy named R.C. Sproul, whom I'm sure many of you, if not most of you, are familiar with, that he gave on this. And it just really heightened my whole understanding and perspective of this passage and gave me a real appreciation for it. And it bumped it right up to the top of the list as my favorite passage. And so I kind of am hoping to reproduce that experience with you. How many of you have heard of R.C. Sproul? I think almost everybody in the room. How many of you have heard him give a talk on Isaiah 6? He actually gave many of them. Anybody here has ever heard that? Okay. So there was one that he gave initially that was in a series that was entitled The Holiness of God. He has a book out on it, and it's a video series. It's still available online, and it's actually, there's no cost to watch it, interestingly enough. And it's a whole series dedicated to the holiness of God. In lesson number one, he starts out talking about Isaiah chapter 6. He just goes verses 1 through 4. And that's what we're going to watch this morning, is his presentation on it. And just to give you an idea that I'm not the only one that was affected the way I was by this talk, this is John MacArthur, a speaker in his own right. He says, the first time I heard R.C. Sproul teach was several decades ago. He wrote this at the time that R.C. Sproul died, which is around 2017. I can't recall the exact date, but I do remember his teaching like it was yesterday. He began in Isaiah 6, a passage I knew well. I had preached on it myself more than once, but after hearing R.C. Sproul's powerful description of the majesty and magnificence of the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, I never looked at that passage the same way again. It was as if R.C. had taken us into the very throne room of heaven to see a glimpse of God's holiness with our own eyes. And that's John MacArthur saying this. And, you know, he's heard many speakers. He's done many talks. And R.C. Sproul kind of became became his signature passage in a sense. So I really debated as to which one to show you, because he'd given many talks on it. And it was between the one I'm going to show you this morning, which is like the original one, or there was one he gave just a couple years before he died. He was in his 70s. And it was before it was in Orlando before a huge Legionnaire conference with thousands of people. And there he is up there as an old man, you know, still preaching on Isaiah 6. I really almost wanted to show that one. But then I thought, well, this is one of the earlier ones, maybe the first he did on Isaiah 6, where he's a young, energetic R.C. Sproul in his late 40s. And decided to roll with this one for a number of reasons, but it was debatable. Both of those are online and available out there if you want to see them, plus probably more. So without any further ado, we'll go ahead and get this started, and then we'll have a little bit of time at the end for discussion. It only runs 30 minutes, and then we'll have some time at the end to do a little bit of discussion question and talk about what we're going to do after this. So for those listening to this sermon online, at this point, go ahead and pause your audio file, and assuming you've been following along in the PowerPoint or on the PDF, click on the little triangle play button in the middle of the slide that we were just on, where it showed a picture of R.C. Sproul with his hand up in the air. And it should take you to the Legionnaire website, where you will hear a 30-minute talk by R.C. Sproul entitled The Importance of Holiness. And if you can't get that to work from the PDF or PowerPoint, I'm also going to put a link on the website itself over in the side area so that you can get to that link. And basically at this point, you want to listen to RC's talk. When that is finished, then come back and resume playing the audio file that you're playing now. And you'll hear me sort of wrap up, and we'll have some discussion time based on what we just heard RC say. Hopefully it all will make sense.
I hope that was meaningful to you and as much of a blessing as it has been to me over the years. I've watched that I don't know how many times, and I never get tired of seeing it. It's just Wow. Really good. So this is just going to serve as an introduction to this section. I'm still going to cover the text. So next time, I plan to recap some of the major ideas that he covered in verse. He only covered verses 1 through 4. We're going to go all the way to verse 13. And then I plan to cover the remainder of Isaiah 6, 1 through 13, maybe one lesson or who knows, but we'll see how it all works out. So we're not done yet. This is just a introduction, kind of something different because, like I said, it's a significant passage. And I think we do have time to, for our discussion question. I just have one here. Do you think Christians today are sometimes too casual in the way they approach God? It's almost a silly question, right? Especially after you hear that, you know. But then I ask this. What about, because we just came through the book of Hebrews not too long ago, right? Let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. Brothers, we have confidence to enter into the holy places by the blood of Jesus. So that's a couple passages in Hebrews. So is there a balance to be had here? What are your thoughts on that? So that's kind of, went too far on that one. Anyhow. Just thought we'd kick that around a little bit and see what you thought. And if you want to comment on what you just saw, feel free as well.
Well, it seems that the seraphim who haven't dealt with the corruption that we have and the woe is me that Isaiah 6 is about to describe,
yeah,
clean lips, and yet they too are quite... reserved, guarded. I don't know what the proper name or description would be of how they respond, but an acknowledgement that even in their purity, God is a different, totally different level.
Yeah. It's true. In a way, you know, we kind of, that rolls off our tongue real easy in Hebrews. We confidence we draw near to God, but you stop and think about it, that's almost outrageous in a way. The fact that we can have, that's like startling, you know, we don't realize the privilege that is all because of what we have in Christ.
Right, so I like to compare that to Esther's confidence in approaching the king. I don't think it took away the sobering approach. I mean, she didn't just start doing pinwheels and you know, all sorts of goofiness approaching.
Yeah.
It was still great reverence, but the confidence that, and the trust that I'll be received, I think that's what we're supposed to do.
And, you know, we have accounts in Scripture. The Apostle John, you know, in the spirit on the Isle of Patmos, you know, New Testament apostle. What happened when he got in the presence of God? He was on his face. You know, I think that's where we're going to be. I mean, it's just we don't really sometimes think about this because we just get so much to our everyday world, and especially our secular world has just made everything so bland and dumbed down. That's why I like this. It's just that reminder of something about the nature of God and the holiness of God, and something that I think we disconnect from that a little bit in our society, which is why I love the reminder. Why I love this text.
Paul so. And I were unfortunately in Walmart this week, and I looked over, and this lady had a T-shirt that said, "God is dope."
God is dope?
Made me cringe.
Good night.
I think that's supposed to mean...
He's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's another T-shirt that I've seen hanging on the wall at a store that says, "Jesus is my homeboy."
Yeah.
And he's dressed like a gangster rapper.
Yeah.
And I do believe, looking at the first bullet point, that our society has a way too casual approach to the holiness of God. I saw a video this past week that it's shocking what some pastor got up on stage and said. I'll share it with anyone y'all on the side, but he was in front of 1,000 people or so at this huge mega church, and what he said is just jaw-dropping. And people didn't walk out. And I know I'm guilty of just kind of going a little casually through my week, just recognizing how holy God is, just in my own daily accounts. R.C. Sproul does another sermon that I love a lot, where he's talking about Uzzah and when he tried to catch the ark.
Yes.
And if you haven't seen that one, that's another amazing R.C. Sproul sermon that I just know.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one probably two or three times I share it.
That is in the same series as this one. This was lesson number one. It's like, I think, five or six lessons on there. I'm going to include the link on my website if you want to see it. In fact, I had it up on the screen a while ago. And if you want to go out and watch it again, it's all available for free out there on Ligonier Ministries' website, the video and everything. And yeah, that one about Zion. There's another one where he talks about some students that he had that were complaining about getting an F. This, he gives some, his illustrations just really hit home. You know, they nail it, I think.
A great providence, irony. It's intriguing that the coronation of Prince Charles.
Yeah, isn't that funny? The timing of that just happened this last weekend, and here we're hearing about...
Or King Charles.
Yeah, hard to get your mind around that one, right? But yeah. Yeah, he, in fact, one of his other lectures, he didn't say it in this one, he introduced it as the first television broadcast that was broadcast in America from Europe was the coronation of Queen Elizabeth. And he said at the time she was a very beautiful lady. Of course, we just saw her pass, you know, recently and all that. She was there for how many years? I forget.
The last portion of my favorite hymn is, "Bold I approach the eternal throne."
Yes.
"And claim the crown through Christ my Lord."
I think understanding our place as creatures and the kind of reverence we ought to have makes us appreciate that kind of a statement. We approach with confidence or boldness, as your hymn, your citing says. The fact that we can even think about doing that is actually stunning. Yeah.
You know, as Americans, we don't have a monarch. We don't have the pomp and circumstance that, you know, other countries have had to help us understand the otherness of a monarch.
Of a sovereign, yeah.
Of a sovereign. And we also have an attitude in America of stoicism. You can't hurt me, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever you do to me, I'll be fine, you know. And between those two things, it really gives people, especially non-Christians, a very low attitude toward God. And as Christians, you know, we have to work against those things to keep him elevated in our thoughts. And I think the reason Hebrews says to draw near with confidence is because you shouldn't really have that. You should have to be told.
Yes.
You should have, you know, you can have confidence.
Exactly.
But you shouldn't just feel like, oh, yeah, you know, like Esther just walking in, you know, without worry.
Right.
She was concerned, you know.
Right. Yeah, the other thing is kind of built into the American mindset, and there can be a place for it in certain contexts, but is the idea that, you know, democratic, egalitarian, you know, hey, I'm just as important as anybody else. You know, there's no sense of hierarchy or a sense of someone being special or in another class, like it's kind of what you're getting at. But, you know, that's that sort of built into our mindset where we threw off the monarchy. You know.
Well, I didn't watch the whole coronation yesterday, but I did see this clip where the Archbishop and also Prince William pledged their allegiance to Charles. But the way they did it, they said, "We pledge our undying loyalty to you under the law," right? So appealing to a higher authority than you, but in our allegiance to God, there is nothing higher. There is, the law itself submits to God.
Yeah, that's right.
And according, you know, Andrew has talked about seeing that t-shirt, you know, "God is dope." Going to the, you know, the casual approach people are having to God, that's their strange, weird way of trying to reach all these people that, you know, God is, you know, is something to have, but they're not going by scripture to me. It's got this t-shirt, it's got all this stuff on it that I'm not, hurry, it just makes me cringe to see that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's their way of trying to reach people in today's society, you know, the kids that's chug out on dope or just dumb. Yeah. I don't know what you want to call it, but that's their way of reaching out. But it makes me cringe to see all that stuff too.
Yeah.
But they're saying that, you know, you're a dope head. Yeah, but my God is here. But okay, we can change this and just change it over to this instead of the drugs.
It's
their way of trying to reach.
Yeah, and like any attempt to dumb down the message of Scripture or the gospel to reach people, the cost of that is you end up bringing them to the wrong God.
Yeah.
You know, what are you bringing them to? You just dumbed down what you were bringing them to, so it's no longer who you were trying or supposed to be trying to bring them to.
They're not putting Scripture in there.
Yeah. That's the cost of that. And that happens a lot, you know, in various areas. You know, well, we can just, you know, make this to where it's more palatable and so forth. What are you winning them to?
Exactly. You know. That's like, I know this guy, one of your things was, he was talking about was the feet, you know, take your shoes off, you know.
Yeah.
Well, there is also a group out there that believes, you go barefooted out in the yard. You don't wear shoes out there.
Yeah.
That's their belief. Because they're misunderstanding what things are saying, what it means.
Yeah.
But there is a group out there that really believes that, I know.
Okay.
My Hebrew teacher directed us to this passage. I saw the Lord sitting on the throne high and lifted up. And he said that word lifted up there is the Hebrew word nasa, which always reminded him of NASA. So the launch happens and the ship goes up and up, and he is high and lifted up. He is in the heavens. Nasa. I've never forgotten that word.
Without the unintentional disassembly or what happened in the last launch. Did anybody hear about that?
Yeah. Well, that wasn't NASA, that was SpaceX.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You're right. That wasn't NASA. NASA would never use that kind of phrase, I don't think. All right, well, folks, I hope that was helpful, and I hope, again, it was blessed. He's going to be a hard act to follow, but, you know, he just have to be back to regular next time. Sorry. Father, we do praise you. You are high and exalted, and, Lord, let us be mindful always, even though we live in as a sinful people, among sinful people. We're going to see this with Isaiah, even. People of unclean lips. We need to be brought before the throne room, and someday we will be, and to be reminded of these things. So help us to keep those things in our mind and our attitude towards you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.